You're listening to the First Baptist Rockdale Sunday Sermons Podcast. First Baptist Rockdale is a church dedicated to making disciples who make disciples. We hope you enjoy this week's message.
All right. We are going to go through at least a large chunk of the book of Proverbs as a church this year. And you say, Matt, that's a 31-chapter book. And I said, yes, it is. Proverbs is a book that has everything that you could ever really want inside of a book. In fact, when I was looking at what to preach next, I'm always doing that. This year, I went through and I made a spreadsheet of everything I've preached over the almost 11 years that I've been here. Doc Shuffield has been a faithful secretary for me, and he'll mark in his Bible what I preach. And so I said, Doc, can I borrow your Bible and go through and see what all I've preached? And so I put a spreadsheet together to cover the things that I've preached. And it's impressive to see in 10 years, and almost, it'll be 11, I guess, in February, in 10 plus years, through all of those sermons, like how much stuff we've covered together as a church. If you've been here the whole time, we've covered large chunks of the Bible together. And that's a neat thing. As a pastor, I've got whole books that have been like highlighted green, like we've preached that whole book. I have other books that I've preached several sermons from. I've got little orange things. And then I have books of the Bible that I've not preached from once, and those just have a white heading over on the side. And as I was looking through it, the book of Proverbs has not had one sermon preached from me in almost 11 years. I've referenced individual Proverbs, I'm sure, in the midst of my preaching, but I've never preached as my primary text anything from Proverbs. And that seems unwise since the entirety of the book is about wisdom. So we're going to take some time and do some work there. There are reasons that we don't preach on the book of Proverbs that we'll get to later. But one of the reasons is it is difficult to preach when the ideas start flowing real rapid fire. You know, when there's a verse about how to behave before a king, and then there's a verse about when to harvest your crops, and they're back to back, that can make for complicated preaching. But we're going to dive in and see what God's going to do as we study this together. If you haven't read the book of Proverbs recently, I would commend that to you. It's a new year. You should be starting your Bible reading at some sort and say, hey, I'm going to renew myself to do this. Maybe you're not a New Year's resolution person. That's okay. I'm not really a New Year's resolution person either. But maybe you need to dive in and say, I'm going to read God's Word. Proverbs is a wonderful way to do that. There's 31 of them as far as chapters are concerned. And on a long month like January, you get 31 days. And so you could choose today, January the 4th, flip over to Proverbs chapter 4, and you would get a father's wise instruction. That's Proverbs chapter 4 today that you could be reading. But I'd encourage you, as we're going through Proverbs, to read it a few times so the material is fresh to you. What we're going to deal with today is the first seven verses in Proverbs chapter 1, and it deals with why you should even care about a book of assorted proverbs. And this is what the word of the Lord says in Proverbs chapter 1, starting in verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity. To give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. To understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Okay, so Proverbs begins with kind of a heading verse. And the heading verse says, the Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. Usually, at the front of a book, when you get a heading, it is super helpful because you know the entirety of the book is going to follow that pattern. Like if you were to open up the book of Ephesians, it'd say, Paul to the church in Ephesus. And you say, this is a letter from Paul to the church in Ephesus. And you know, this is what we're reading. Proverbs, however, is unlike any other book in the Bible. It is very similar to what we would call an anthology of books. They're a collection of wisdom that has been given throughout the years. And at some point, God inspired someone to put this collection together. And this is what is we now have in the book of Proverbs. Later on, when we're in the book of Proverbs, we'll get, and it'll be, oh, these are the sayings of King Agur, or here are the sayings of King Lemuel, right? And we'll have other people whose words are spoken. But the front end of Proverbs are Proverbs generally from the time of Solomon. Solomon is the son of David, the wisest man on earth. Remember the story, right? God asked Solomon, ask me of something and I'll give it to you. Solomon asked to be given a wisdom, and so God appointed him ultimate wisdom for a human to possess. And then from there, it begins to give you the rationale for why you, yes, even you, should read a book like this. Why should you sit down and read the book of Proverbs? Why should we study the book of Proverbs? And the first thing, as you see in verses 2 and 3, is that Proverbs are there so that you will know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, and to receive instruction in wise dealing and righteousness, justice, and equity. All right. So the first thing that Proverbs do, for anybody who seeks out with a good faith effort, if you'll read the book of Proverbs, if you'll study the book of Proverbs, the first thing that it will do is Proverbs will give wisdom and understanding. Proverbs, the book of Proverbs, the Proverbs contained inside of here, gives wisdom and understanding. And these are things that are sorely missing in our society today. Wisdom is not just simply knowing things, right? You know some people who know some things. They can be experts about a very specific part of the human condition. You talk to them about when to plant or when to harvest. They may know everything about that. If you were to ask them, is it safe to run across the highway at night? They'd say, I don't know. Right, they might have knowledge, but they don't have wisdom. Wisdom is the application, the ability to know when and how to apply knowledge. And then if you study the book of Proverbs, you will grow in your wisdom. You'll begin to gain practical knowledge about how to know things and then to use those things. Proverbs can be challenging because there are, sometimes you'll have a proverb that says, answer not a fool according to his folly. And the very next verse will say, answer a fool according to his folly. And I don't know about you, but those two verses seem to say slightly different things from each other, right? Answer not a fool to his folly. Answer a fool according to his folly. And you say, well, how can these both be true? A truth claim in the book of Galatians, right, that says, Christ is the, propitiation, the sacrifice to die for our sins. He satisfies the wrath of God. That truth claim is always true. Proverbs, however, are proverbially true. And sometimes we're going to have to know when to apply this wisdom and that wisdom. Sometimes it's not appropriate to respond to a fool because they're just going to drag you down. And sometimes you need to respond to a fool so that they can be, repudiated from their foolishness. Wisdom is knowing when to apply this proverb and when to apply that proverb. And so we're going to see as we study, we're going to learn more about the mind of God and the understanding that we have. Proverbs are meant to be utilized for your life. They're not meant to be internalized and just mottos that you say. They're supposed to be things that shape your actions. And so we're going to learn and understand when to apply specific proverbs and then understand how those things can be used to make our lives more God-honoring. There's two groups of people that will benefit from studying the proverbs. The first are the young and the simple. Those are synonyms in some way. Young people are typically simple people. I have young children. I don't know who I was talking to this week. One of my kids, teenagers of some sort. And they were doing something ridiculous. I don't remember what it was. All of my kids are like, hey, that was me this week. Yeah, it was all of y'all doing something ridiculous. And they did something. And they explained what happened because I'm trying to help them out. They explain what happened, and then I just go right back at them, and I repeat what they said in a slightly more honest and accurate way, and their response was gold. They said, well, yeah, when you say it, it makes sense. Like, of course that makes sense now. It was, do you want to know the specific situation? All right, so Hannah, do you want to know the specific situation now? Okay. Had something to do with how they were treating their 7-year-old brother, right? And yeah. We won't go into it all right now. But when you simplify it sometimes, you know, having wisdom, you hear it and you're like, oh. And as you're young and you're growing in wisdom, we don't come into this world knowing all things. I mean, the Bible even says Jesus himself grew in wisdom and knowledge and stature and favor with man, right? We grow in wisdom. Parents, you should be instructing your kids to be more wise, hopefully more wise than you were when they are your age, right? Your goal is that you're pushing them forward in their wisdom. But for the young, this is what the book of Proverbs promises, that it will give prudence to the simple and knowledge and discretion to the youth. Prudence to the simple, which is prudence, is a word that, you know, we used to name like people prudence. That was a name that someone would be given back in the day. We don't name people prudence anymore. We don't want people to exercise prudence. Prudence is the ability to make a wise yet cautious maybe decision in a situation. Right, it's to be able to discern in a moment what is the right thing to do and then to choose the thing that is right. Prudence tells us that you know, you shouldn't be out at 2 a.m. Right? Like, oh, that's not a wise place for me to be at 2 a.m. Not much good is happening at 2 a.m. The jails start to get filled around that time, I would believe. Right? There's not much good for you out there, even on New Year's Eve at hours like that. Right, and then for the simple, prudence will be developed. For the youth, discretion will be developed. Discretion is the ability to practice, like, I don't know, simplistic obedience in the right times. So to have discretion, to choose between what is good and what is bad, between what is good and what is better. And these are things that we grow into. Whenever I was a new youth minister, I was 22 years old, Blanchard Baptist Church in Livingston, Texas, said, hey, why don't you come out here for a summer and be our youth guy for the summer? I just graduated college. I thought I had just graduated college. I actually didn't just graduate college because I failed a class my final semester of college. Only class I ever failed. Good job, me. But I'm there. Doing youth ministry for the first time. I'd done some college ministry and done some stuff inside the church office where I grew up in. It's my first time out there. I get through the summer. I do such a tremendous job, as you can imagine, that like, hey, we'd like to keep you on. I was like, awesome. I would love to have a job, so let's do that. And so they hire me on. I'm married. Praise God that I'm married at this point in my life, because I'm still young and inexperienced and lacking in discretion. And I'm thinking about ways to grow the youth ministry, how to get students together. And back in Livingston, Texas, it's probably not too dissimilar to what we have in Rockdale sometimes. Kids would gather in Livingston. They'd gather out at the lake or out in a field somewhere, and they would just drink beer. This is what they would do. I hear it happens out here now. You have pasture parties and things of that like. And it's just what would happen. And I thought, well, that's bad. We shouldn't be encouraging that activity, but clearly kids are enjoying gathering and drinking. How can I use this to grow the youth ministry? This is unwise, simple, young Matt Higginbotham. And so I tell my wife my brilliant idea. And I look at my wife in the eyes and I say, Danielle, I've just come up with the best idea I've ever had. And she says, what is that? And I said, we're going to throw a keg party with O'Doul's beer at the church. And O'Doul's is a 0% alcohol beer, and I'm 22 and an idiot. And my wife looks at me and she says, Matt, that is a terrible idea. And I say, there's no alcohol involved. Like, they will not be getting drunk. We're taking this and we're redeeming it for something good. We'll get the kids together. They'll hear the gospel. It'll be a great. We'll probably have 100 kids there. It'll be great. She says, you will not do this. Well, that's dumb. And so I listened to my wife, and I just put her on the shelf. And I remember 5 years later, I'm on my second youth ministry now, and I'm thinking about that event. And I'm like, that was a good idea. I can't believe she didn't let me do that. And then about a year after that, I'm thinking about it again, and I'm like, you are the dumbest guy on earth. What made you think that throwing a keg party was a good idea to get kids into the gospel? See, I was not wise, not as wise as I am now, then. I just had no like basis for understanding that linking those two things together, which seems patently obvious to most of you in the pews I can see today, right? That linking those two things together was a terrible idea. My wife, praise God, had enough wisdom to look at me and say no, and I had enough discernment to not want to make my wife mad, and so I didn't do it. Right? I think that's probably a fireable offense. I'm not sure. It's definitely going to get me brought in front of the personnel committee, though. Right? And so I remember it clear as day because I was young, and I was simple, and I didn't have discretion. I had an objective in mind: see kids, get to know Jesus Christ, connect with kids, build relationships with kids, whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. So I want the gospel to go forward. However I can do that, sure, it may rub some people wrong, but that's because they're backwards and stupid and they don't understand how to reach kids. I understand how to reach them. And then as I grew older, I realized, like, well, maybe I could have packed the place out, but no good fruit would have come from that idea. And it was only by the grace of God that I avoided stepping into the landmine that I really, really actively wanted to do. Right? We don't have discretion when we're young, but as we grow in wisdom, as we read the book of Proverbs, there are promises that you will grow in wisdom. If you're young here today, I want to encourage you to read the Proverbs. Maybe you're just simple. Simple doesn't mean stupid. Simple just means there's things that you're unaware of. There are still areas that I am simple in. Now, Robert Castillo is an electrician by trade, and he'll come up here sometimes, and our church has countless electrical issues, as you can imagine. And so he's up here a lot, tooling around, doing electrical stuff. And I've had him try to explain to me, like, the foundations of electricity more times than I care to admit, and I still don't get it. Like, I don't understand how ohms and watts and hertz and volts and amps all play together to do one thing. I do know if I flip a switch up and the light flickers, things are bad. I should call Robert, right? But I don't understand it. I remember taking that in physics, and they were kind of teaching it in physics, and I was able to pass the test. But I mean, I don't understand it. My mind is simple in that area. Doesn't mean I'm stupid in all the areas of my life. It doesn't mean that I could never, ever obtain that knowledge. But in my life right now, I'm very simple in that. There may be areas where you're simple, and God is going to grow you over the months as we study the book of Proverbs, where you'll gain more prudence and more discretion to act wisely in your life and not to rush in foolishly into decisions. You know, a large part of the problems that we have is that we don't have discretion and prudence. We respond impulsively. We don't hesitate enough to make a decision. You know, Brian Price told me that, like, you watch TV, you see criminal masterminds on TV, and he's like, that is far, far away from his experience in working with the criminal element in Milam County. He said most criminals are not that bright, and they have poor impulse control, and they never develop discretion and prudence in their life. And so when they have something that they want, or someone makes them angry, they respond out of those feelings and emotions. And a lack of discretion leads to destruction. If you're here today and you're looking for a reason to study Proverbs, that's one reason. It will help to equip you to have a discretion and a prudence. But maybe you're way beyond that. Maybe you kind of fancy yourself as one of the wise in the room today. I look out across the room. Some of you have, like, the hair color that would say that you should be wise at this point in your life. Right, mine's going there. It's mostly there. Myself, still got a ways to go. Maybe you fancy yourself to be on the road to wisdom. You don't think you're the wisest person in the world, but you're on the path. You've surrendered yourself to knowing the things of God and knowing them better. The book of Proverbs, simple as it can be sometimes, is for you as well. This is a promise to the wise. He says, let the wise hear these Proverbs and increase in their learning. And the one who understands obtain guidance so that they may understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. If you're here today and you fancy yourself to be on the path towards deeper wisdom, maybe you're beyond the simple. Maybe when I said that I should throw a keg party for teenagers in Livingston, Texas, immediately you thought that's a terrible idea. Like if you just had that immediate thought, good job, you're on the path to wisdom. So what does the book of Proverbs promise to you? Proverbs will equip you as the wise to unlock even more difficult wisdom. There are tricky situations. There are difficult places that you're going to find yourself in your life. And you may be the person that other people will go to unlock difficult moral questions. Difficult situations. You know, we like the world to be very black and white. Don't do this. Do this. And a lot of times, it really is that simple. I will have people come to my office sometimes struggling with sin, and they think that there's all these shades of gray. And I'm like, really, if you would just stop doing that sin, probably all the rest of this stuff is going to be okay. Like, if we can just stop that. But there are areas in life where you have to make difficult decisions. You know, how do we respond to someone who's, you know, away from the Lord in our family? And how do we engage with them in the midst of those situations? How do we share the gospel without overwhelming them? And where are the lines for those tricky situations? I don't want to alienate my brother or my sister or my mother or my father. I also don't want them to be condemned to a life without God forever. And where do I do this? I'm just an uncle or an aunt to this person, but I feel like I have a responsibility to them. Or just some kid in my class, but where's the line? What do I do? How can I help them without overstepping? These are the questions that become very difficult for us to solve sometimes. And if you'll devote yourself to studying the book of Proverbs, right, you will grow in your wisdom and you'll be able to unlock some of those deeper, more difficult problems of life. And it's good to have people to go to who are further down the road than you. All say this as a 44 almost year old pastor. There's a lot of things that I don't know. And I'm grateful that I have older folk who have been through a lot more wars than I've been through that I can bounce things off of. I'm always reminded of the story of Rehoboam. After Solomon dies, his son Rehoboam takes the charge. Solomon was a difficult king. He was hard to get along with. He grew the kingdom immensely, and the people respected him because he was wise, and so he could get away with a lot more. Rehoboam comes to power, and some people who had been ostracized by Solomon come, one of them named Jeroboam, and Jeroboam says, look, you need to lighten up. Your dad was harsh. He was difficult. The people served him, but they will not serve you. You're not him. You can't do what he did. You need to soften your tone, or we'll rebel. And so Rehoboam goes to his father's advisors, those people who had the gray hair, who had been through the battles before. And they said, Rehoboam, you need to listen to what Jeroboam just said. There's wisdom there. You need to soften your tone. And if you'll soften your tone right now, these people will serve you and your family the rest of their lives. Right? If you make this step today, they'll soften your tone. These men were wise. They knew the wisdom of Solomon. This book was compiled largely with some of these guys writing down what Solomon had said. Rehoboam wanted to get a second opinion, so he goes to his peers. And they tell him the exact opposite. They say, no, go harsher. The way the Bible says is, my father whipped you with whips. I'm going to whip you with scorpions. I'm going to raise your taxes. I'm not going to lower your taxes. I'm going to raise your obligations. I'm not going to lower your obligations. Your life is going to be so hard. They said, show them you're a strong man. And Rehoboam, to his shame, listened to the counsel of the unwise youth and forsook the counsel of the aged, and the nation of Israel split in half that day. I'm so grateful that there are men and women who have gone before me who know things that I don't know. And I try to be open to wisdom from those above us. And if you're here today and you want to grow in wisdom, you need to know there are some people who have been walking for a while and they've been equipped for a while to unlock some of those deeper mysteries. And those things that seem really difficult for you today, they've already dealt with those things. If you'll just humble yourself to hear from them, you'll be much, much wiser. I tell my older kids, if you'll just listen to me and do everything that I say, your life will turn out better. And it's not that I want to be an authoritarian to command everything that they do, but sometimes they do something and I'm like, that's the dumbest thing you could possibly do. I would never tell you to do that. They say, well, yeah, I know. And they have at least enough wisdom to say, like, yeah, I agree. Like, if I listened to you, it'd be better. But sometimes I want to be an idiot. I don't know. Kids, right? What are you going to do? As people, we need to be humble for that. If you want to grow in wisdom, though, there's something for you in the Proverbs. You can be the wisest person in this room. You could have walked with the Lord the longest. You could understand the deepest mysteries that God has laid out so far. You could solve the most difficult riddles. There's more to be gained by studying the Proverbs. There's something for the simple. There's something for the wise. And then the end of the prologue here gives us the foundational key to wisdom. And he writes, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction." Guys, there are two groups of people in the world. There are fools, and then there are people who fear the Lord. There are two groups of people, and their outcomes will be dramatically different. If you're a fool, you don't fear the Lord. You think that you understand everything that could be understood. And fools have no knowledge of deeper things. They can't see past the end of their nose, and they stumble into all sorts of problems. They may know a lot and still be fools. Those who fear the Lord, however, have at least begun the process of obtaining knowledge and wisdom. You know, the foundational truth that God says, you know, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge or the beginning of wisdom, is difficult for us sometimes because fear is a word that strikes inside of us like a reaction. Like, I don't want to fear God. God loves me. He sent Jesus to die for me. I don't want to live in fear of my heavenly Father. That doesn't seem helpful to me. But as you begin to know more about God, you recognize there is much to fear about God because he is dramatically different than you. And you don't need to fear him as you may have feared an abusive parent or an abusive spouse. Like, that's a different type of fear. But you fear him in recognizing that he is cut from a different cloth than you are. And in fact, there would be no cloth to cut if he were not. The God who we serve, who we worship, who we see revealed in the face of Jesus Christ, created the world, as Zach read, with a word. And in a moment, the word was said, and everything that was ever to be made was made in an instant. This is the God that has ultimate knowledge and wisdom. And you are an absolute fool if you don't sit in some sense of fear, in awe and reverence to that God, right? If you were to come into the presence of a great and powerful animal, like let's say we drop a grizzly bear in here today, you should have fear of the power of that animal. What would happen if that animal turned its massive claw and put it across my face? Right, we have fear because we recognize I'm not what that thing is, and I don't like my chances. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge because the fear of the Lord foundationally puts you in a position of humble obedience underneath something that is made so much higher than you. And the more you know about God, as you grow in knowledge, the more you know about God, the wider you see that gap is. When I was young, you know, I was like, yeah, God's like big and everything, but like I'm pretty big and everything too. And as I get older and I know more about God and I see how holy God is and how powerful God is and how righteous God is, I'm like, whoa, he's substantially more than I think, than I thought he was. And as I learned more about myself, I realized how sinful I am and how stupid I am, how ignorant I am. And I realized the gap grows bigger and bigger. And it's that realization that the gap between you and God grows bigger and bigger and bigger that is the beginning point of wisdom. In fact, it's that exact point where you recognize that God is so much bigger than you and so much holier than you, and that there's a gap that you can't bridge, that points us to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Right? Your sin is this offense against God, and it separates you from God, and you realize in a moment you can't get to where the holy God is. And at that point, knowledge, the beginning of knowledge takes place. The Holy Spirit illuminates in your life that somebody had to bridge the gap for you, and that somebody was Christ. And when Christ died on the cross, he died for the sins of the world to make a way so that you could be reconciled to God. You didn't become holy. God made you holy through Christ Jesus. Christ lived the holy life so you could have access to the holy God. And this is the beginning of like spiritual knowledge. It's also the beginning of all knowledge. So you have a choice. Which of the two groups do you want to be a part of? Most of us would say we don't want to be a fool. If someone calls you a fool, you don't take that as a compliment. Right? So the other option is to be someone who fears the Lord. My encouragement to you today is this, right? To study the book of Proverbs along with me. To take it seriously. Today, read Proverbs chapter 4. Tomorrow, read Proverbs chapter 5. We're going to be in here for more than a month, I promise. So you'll get to read the book of Proverbs 2, 3, 4 times. By the time we're done. And to lean into what God is trying to teach you there, because wisdom and its benefits will await you if you're a humble seeker of what God has for you. The benefits of wisdom and wisdom itself will await you if you will just be a humble seeker. Not to set yourself above God, not to have no fear of the Lord, but to come in and say, Lord, I recognize there's things that I don't know. I'm willing to be taught today. The book of Proverbs is full of great truths. And there will be, I can't count on my hands the number of times I've been reading through the book of Proverbs, and I've read like one of the little shorter Proverbs, and it just jumps out, and I said, that is exactly you, Matt. That's exactly you. One of my favorite ones says, you know, like a madman, crazy person shooting flaming arrows just willy-nilly across the sky is the man who deceives his neighbor and says, I was only joking. I can't tell you the number of times in my life where I've just been like messing around. Like, I'm just joking around. I'm just messing around. But the collateral damage of just joking around is the same as if you were to go outside and just from wherever you are, just close your eyes, pull the bow, shoot the flaming arrow, and where it lands, it lands. There's damage that flies out from you. Your mouth can be a thing of great damage. I've shared the example before, but you know, my best friend years ago, he and his wife were struggling with infertility, and I was just at lunch with them, and I tell this story this way because it makes me seem really dumb, but like we're just messing around, and I was like, you know, you should be barefoot and pregnant in the kitchen. You know, just kind of a basic misogynist nonsense thing there. And I was joking, 100% joking, messing around, didn't think anything of it. And I saw my words crush my best friend's wife. Like in that moment, and I loved her too. It wasn't like she was someone I didn't care about. Like I loved her. And so he called me that afternoon. He's like, we got to talk. I'm like, yeah, I'm an idiot. Like, and so as we read the Proverbs, you're probably going to have something jump out, and you're like, oh my goodness, I am the fool today. I am not the wise. I hope that you'll discover some of those things, some areas that you can try to begin to practice how to apply wisdom to your life. I want you to know wisdom awaits you if you will seek it today. And wisdom is found in the face of Jesus Christ. He is the all-wise God incarnate, and he is the God who we serve. So if you're here today and you don't know Jesus today, the beginning of wisdom will be the beginning of you coming to a relationship with Jesus Christ. Because there is no knowledge, there is no higher knowledge and wisdom for those outside of God. Let me pray.